As we consider Jesus and as we consider what type of king, what type of ruler, and what type of leader he is, maybe we could think of Jesus amongst a chessboard. And we would think of Jesus, of course, as being the king on the chessboard, the most important piece, the crowning piece, the piece that all other pieces on the chessboard, the pawns and the rooks and the knights and the bishops and even the queen, they must all give their life for the king. They must all protect the king at all costs. Because the king is the most important piece on the board. And as Jesus spoke to his disciples, it was obvious that that is how they thought. They were born as Jewish people into a Roman society. And for the Jews, the king, the Messiah, was the most important piece of the puzzle, the most important piece of the game. And there was a Jewish rabbi, and he said this about the Messiah: anyone who does not believe in him, or who does not wait for his arrival, has not merely denied the other prophets, but has also denied the Torah, Moses, and our rabbi. For them, the idea of the Messiah coming as king, he would come and he would rule. But not only would he rule, he would establish the Jewish nation as the most important nation on earth. And they believed that the Messiah would come and they would become the people that would teach everyone else how to live, how to obey the well over 600 rules and commandments that they find in their scriptures. So when they thought of Jesus as being the king, they thought, well, he is going to come in and he is going to establish us as the preeminent nation. He's going to rule by force. He's going to defeat all our enemies. And he's going to be our king. And we will worship him. Jesus came into a Roman society, and the Romans had a very different view of what it meant to be a king. Similar but different. And this was the place where early Christianity was really going to be born into. The early Christians were part of this oppressive Roman society, influenced by Greek philosophy as well. Tom Holland, who's a historian, who prior to studying ancient history thought that the Romans were the epitome of everything that was good in the world. He thought about Greek thought and he said, well, this is the way we should live. And then he studied what they actually thought, particularly what they actually thought about what it meant to be a ruler, what it meant to be a leader, what it meant to be a king. And he said this: the more you live in the minds of the Romans, the more alien they come to seem, the more frightening they come to seem. And what becomes most frightening reality is a kind of quality of callousness that I think is terrifying, because it's completely taken for granted. Caesar is, by some accounts, and I've changed some of the words because of the generations that are in this room this morning. Caesar is, by some accounts, disposing of 1 million Gauls and enslaving another 1 million in the cause of boasting his political career. And far from feeling in any way embarrassed about this, he's promoting it. And when he holds his triumph, people are going through the streets of Rome carrying billboards boasting about how many people he's killed. For them, they truly believed that it was a good thing that a king would dominate, that a king would kill, that a king would use all the pawns and everyone under his command in order to see his kingdom established. They would be killed. They would go into battle. They would be defeated, and it was nothing. And you would dispose of your enemies and you would make sure they were obliterated. And not only that, you would then celebrate that. That was actually seen as being something that was good. Mercy, kindness. None of these things were the philosophy of the culture of that day. And Jesus comes in and he is the King, he is the Messiah, he is the glorious one, he is the Creator, he is Almighty. And yet he shows a different way. This is what Jesus said in John 13, around that table as they celebrated that Last Supper. This is how he showed himself to be King. So he got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's." You see, as Jesus went to the cross and as he suffered and died, the King, the ruler, the Lord, he laid himself down. "For God so loved the world that he gave his life, that whosoever would believe." He laid himself down for the lowest, for the men, for the women, for the religious, for the irreligious, for those on the opposing side, for those who call themselves believers and those who don't, for those who call upon the name of Jesus and those who don't. He willingly chose to lay down his life for you. And here's the thing. Some of you here today don't think that you are worthy of that. Some of you today have been told that. And some of you today exclude yourself from this and say, "But I'm this, but I'm that. I can't." And Jesus gets down upon his knees and he washes the feet of the disciples. Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem and goes to the cross. And Jesus lays down his life for you, whoever you are. This story is your story. You are part of this story because God loved the whole world and everyone in it.